afternoon. I call the Social Health and Social Services Committee to order at 3:05 p.m. on Tuesday. What are we, the 29th? 27th. So we're meeting today in Davis, room 106 of the Capitol Building. Please silence your cell phones out of courtesy to others attending. And the committee members in attendance today are Representative McCormick, Representative Ruffridge, Representative Sumner, Representative Fields, Representative Mina, and myself, Chair Prock. So we have a quorum to do business. And I'd also like to introduce my committee aide, Riley Nye, who is to our left. So if you have any correspondence with the committee, please pass that through Mr. Nye. And I also want to welcome and thank our House Records Recorder, Cheryl Cole, and Zach Lawhorn, our teleconference moderator. Today we are actually a little bit of an abbreviated meeting. We just have until 4 o'clock, and then the Hess Finance Subcommittee is going to be meeting. So we have about an hour, and we just have one item on the agenda, and this will be the initial hearing of House Bill 226 that has to do with pharmacists, pharmacy, and pharmacy benefit managers, and we'll be taking invited and public testimony. And I guess the first thing we need to do is adopt the committee substitute. Representative Ruffridge, do you have a motion?
Yes, thank you, Chair Prox. I move that we adopt committee substitute for House Bill 226, version S, also known as 33-LS0955/S, be adopted as the committee substitute.
Okay, and do you have the summary of changes from version B to version S? You do. Oh, I needed to object in order to get that. So I did.
thank you, Chair Prox. I'm certainly happy to go through the summary of changes, but I'll probably leave that to the bill sponsor, Representative Sumner or staff.
Representative Sumner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The committee substitute adopts a fiduciary duty. Version S adds that the PBM has a fiduciary duty to the plan sponsor, which will lead to the lowest possible cost for the plan and for the patients. Dispensing fee. The dispensing fee is the responsibility of the Division of Insurance to set based on a cost of dispensing survey, removes Medicaid language from that was present in version B. Claim limitations. Version S also adds that the PBM may not reverse and resubmit a claim of a pharmacy more than 30 days after the claim was adjudicated unless there is just cause, but prior written notification to the pharmacy is required. And third-party licensing. Version S requires PBMs to have their own licensing category, and licensing fee removes third-party administrator language. Thank you.
Any questions? All right, so with that, I'll remove my objection. And if seeing no other objections, the committee substitute is adopted. All right. So, again, this is the initial hearing of House Bill 226. And it's sponsored by Representative Sumner, and here with him is his staff, Serena Hackenmiller. And Representative Sumner, would you want to introduce the bill? All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 226 aims to address critical issues related to the Board of Pharmacy, insurance, pharmacies, pharmacists, and pharmacy benefit managers in the state of Alaska. This comprehensive legislation is designed to ensure patient choice of pharmacy, improve transparency and accountability in pharmacy benefit management, and enhance the standards for pharmaceutical care across the state. HB 226 emphasizes the powers of the Board of Pharmacy, including provisions for licensing, inspection, and regulation of pharmacies, pharmacists, and other entities involved in the distribution of drugs. It also seeks to establish safeguards for patient access to pharmacy services and clinician-administered drugs while preventing unfair trade practices by insurers and pharmacy benefit managers. This legislation includes provisions for reimbursement of pharmacy services, addressing issues related to national average drug pricing, or drug acquisition costs and dispensing fees, with the goal of ensuring fair compensation for pharmacies and pharmacists. House Bill number 226 is a critical step forward in promoting the best interest findings of patients, pharmacies, and pharmacists in Alaska. By enacting this legislation, we strive to create an environment that fosters quality pharmaceutical care, empowers patient choice, and enhances the overall integrity of pharmacy services in our state. This legislation is scheduled to take effect July 1st, 2025, and represents a collaborative effort to modernize and improve the pharmaceutical landscape in Alaska. And I, Mr. Chair, can turn it over to Serena Hackmiller and my staff.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Hackmiller?
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Serena Hackmiller, staff to Chair Sumner, and I would like to let you guys know that the sectional is 5 pages, so please hang in there as I get through it. Sectional analysis of version S is what we're looking at. Section 1 amends AS0880030B, powers and duties of the board. B19 establishes that the Board of Pharmacy has authority to regulate the dispensing of drugs that are not approved for self-administration, practices commonly known as white bagging and brown bagging. Section 2 amends AS2127901. This requires a pharmacy benefits manager, at this time I will continue by saying PBM from now on, operating in Alaska to register as a PBM with the division. It allows PBMs to contract with an insurer to manage pharmacy benefits and other services and audits and contract with network pharmacies. PBMs must be registered with the Division of Insurance to conduct business in the state. Section 3 amends and adds new subsections to AS2127901. This adds a new subsection C, establishing that each day a PBM conducts business in the state without being licensed by the state is in a separate violation under AS2197020. Section 4 amends AS2127905A, establishes that PBMs must biennially register with Division of Insurance under its procedures for license renewal. Section 5 amends and adds new section to AS2127. This adds that a PBM has a fiduciary responsibility to the plan sponsor and its covered persons, meaning it must consider impacts to the plan sponsor as well as the insured employees, notify conflicts of interest with its duties to the state, shall pass on its rebates to the plan, shall respond to requests of drug costs when requested. Basically, it directs the PBM to act in good faith and transparently with its plan sponsor. Section 6 amends AS2127945, establishes that a PBM must keep its drug pricing list current and electronically searchable without charge and must identify each drug by its national drug code, its national average drug acquisition cost, or NADAC, or its wholesale acquisition cost, and its reimbursement amount, provides definitions. The PBM must provide a current PBM employee phone number to the pharmacy, update price list at least weekly to reflect current national drug database pricing. Section 7 repeals and reenacts AS2127945B. This requires PBMs to ensure drugs on a pricing list, meet certain objective standards, are available, and are not obsolete. Section 8 amends AS2127945 and adds definitions and new subsections. To establish that a PBM must keep its drug pricing list current and electronically searchable and must identify each drug by its national drug code, its national average drug acquisition cost, or its wholesale acquisition cost, and its reimbursement amount, provides definitions. Section 9 repeals and reenacts AS2127950. establishes that PBMs shall not reimburse pharmacies for a drug at less than the national average drug acquisition cost, NADAC, again, or in its absence, at less than the wholesale acquisition costs as defined in federal law, and in addition shall reimburse a pharmacist or pharmacies with a professional dispensing fee set by the director. Subsection C sets out the factors the director will consider when determining the fees. Section 10 amends AS-2127 and adds three new sections. The first section is AS-2127-951, Patient Choice of Pharmacy. This subsection bars health insurers and PBMs from prohibiting or limiting an insured person from receiving pharmacy services from a pharmacy of that person's choice, and restricting access to drugs through only a PBM-owned or affiliated pharmacy, except when doing so is required by U.S. FDA standards, and requires PBMs to treat as a network pharmacy any qualified pharmacy that agrees to network terms. This also provides definitions for specialty drug and specialty pharmacy. The second new subsection is AS-2127-952, Patient Access to Clinician-Administered Drugs. This subsection bars health insurers and PBMs from denying reimbursement to or imposing higher fees, co-payments, or penalties on pharmacies other than those selected by the insurer or PBM who dispense to insured persons clinician-administered drugs, drugs infused, injected, or administered in clinical settings, typically high-cost cancer or autoimmune therapy drugs, bars insurers and PBMs from requiring or encouraging that clinician-administered drugs be dispensed to an insured person in a manner inconsistent with the Federal Drug Supply Chain Security Act, practices commonly known as white bagging and brown bagging. It adds definition of clinician-administered drugs. The third new subsection is AS-2127-953, Penalties. This allows the director of Division of Insurance to impose penalties resulting from a filed complaint. Nothing in this section interferes with the patient's right to choose his or her preferred pharmacy. Section 11 amends AS-2127-955 definitions. This modifies language relating to the list of reimbursement prices amounts that are set by the PBMs. Section 12 repeals and reenacts AS-2127-955, number 6, provides a new expanded definition of the term network pharmacy. Section 13 also amends AS-2127-955. This adds 9 new definitions to this section, numbers 11 through 19. Section 14 amends and adds a new section to AS-2136-126. A establishes that insurers or PBMs may not violate a pharmacy's right to reimbursement under new AS-2127-950, interfere with a person's right to choose a pharmacy under new AS-2127-951, interfere with a person's right of access to clinician-administered drugs under new AS-2127-952, interfere with a pharmacy's right to participate in a PBM's pharmacy network under new AS-2127-951, reimburse a pharmacy less than it reimburses a PBM-owned or affiliated pharmacy for the same services, impose any copayment, fee, or condition not equally imposed upon all in the same benefit category, steer insured persons to use a PBM-owned or affiliated pharmacy, impose any monetary advantage or penalty that could affect or influence a person's choice among pharmacies that have agreed to a PBM's network terms, reduce pharmacy reimbursement because of a person's choice among pharmacies that have agreed to a PBM's network terms, use a person's pharmacy services data for soliciting, marketing, or referral to a PBM-owned or affiliated pharmacy, condition a person's coverage or pharmacy's reimbursement on use of a mail-order pharmacy or PBM-owned or affiliated pharmacy, prohibit or limit a network pharmacy from mailing, shipping, or delivering drugs to its patients, condition participation in a PBM pharmacy network or credentialing standards beyond licensing standards set by the Alaska Board of Pharmacy or charging a fee in connection with network enrollment, prohibit a pharmacy from informing patients of the difference between the pharmacy's customary cost of a drug versus the drug cost when using the PBM's insurance, conduct spread pricing, where a PBM charges an insurer different price for a drug, typically higher, than it reimburses a pharmacy. Charge or collect any fee from a pharmacy, including claim processing fees, performance-based fees, network participation fees, or accreditation fees. The new subsection establishes that contract terms between a pharmacy and a PBM in violation of this subsection are null and void, that violations of the subsection are unfair trade practices subject to penalty under AS Chapter 21, Insurance, and provides that nothing in this section shall be construed to interfere with a patient's right to know where there is access to the lowest cost drugs, nor be construed to interfere with a patient's right to receive notice of changes to pharmacy networks, and provides 11 definitions. Section 15 adds new paragraph to AS 2910-200, adds new number 68, AS 2920-420 healthcare insurance plans. Section 16 amends AS 2920 and adds new subsection 420 previously mentioned to Article 5. Healthcare insurance plans, adds that a municipality that offers a group health benefit plan for its employees enjoys the same protections as defined by the Division of Insurance Unfair Practices Guidelines. Section 17 amends AS 3930090A. New paragraph 13 requires participating governmental units to obtain a policy of group health insurance that meets requirements of 2127901 through 2127955. 2136126, and requirements relating to managing pharmacy benefits under their policies. Section 18 amends AS 3930091, adds that the state's self-insured group employee medical plan and union trusts are subject to the statutes on PBMs and unfair trade practices. Section 19 amends and adds new paragraph AS 4550471B. Adds new paragraph number 58, establishes that violations of new subsection 2136126A are violations of the Alaska Unfair Trade Practices and Consumer Protection Act. Section 20 repeals AS 2127955-5 and 2127955-8. These are two definitions that are repealed: multi-source generic drug and pharmacy acquisition costs. Section 21 relates to applicability, states that this legislation applies to contracts between PBMs and pharmacies and pharmacists initiated after the effective date of this bill. Section 22 gives Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development and the Department of Administration authority to adopt regulations necessary to implement this bill. Section 23 adopts the media effective date for purposes of regulation making. And Section 24 establishes that the Act takes place July 1st, 2025. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Representative Sumner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we have some expert invited testimony. If we could bring them forward. I think we have Brandy Seen-Martin and Palmer Wetzel.
And they are with us?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So, Ms. Seen-Martin, if you could please come to the witness table, identify yourself for the record, and proceed with your testimony. Probably be a good idea to spell your last name.
All right. Okay. Well, Chair Prox and members of the committee, my name is Brandy Seen-Martin, S-E-I-G-N-E. M-A-R-T-I-N. I am a pharmacist. I serve as the executive director of the Alaska Pharmacy Association. I'm also a clinical assistant professor at the UAA Doctor of Pharmacy program, where I teach courses on the healthcare system. And then Dr. Wetzel, he's actually on Teams, and so he'll be joining. Oh, I see him right here, actually. He's on Teams with us here. And then we also do have Dr. Ashley Schaber, Chair of the Board of Pharmacy, who will also be here to testify. So this is a very complex issue. Serena just walked us through a 5-page summary. So I think you all already kind of understand how complex this is. So we figured, well, let's start at the top and talk about the entity that really needs to be regulated in order to ensure that Alaskans have the right to choose where they get their pharmacy products, their prescriptions, and that we're able to ensure that we have access to pharmacies within our communities. And so, you know, PBMs are third-party companies that act as intermediaries, really between insurance companies, drug manufacturers, pharmacies, and patients, ultimately. And they were really originally created to help insurers control drug spend, but unfortunately, due to the lack of regulation and oversight, have been incentivized to increase drug spend overall. Some of the other functions they have are to create and manage formularies, which is, you know, what drugs are covered on your health plan, negotiate rebates with the drug manufacturers. So this is actually one of the mechanisms that has really driven up drug costs in America. When people say, why are drugs so much more expensive in America than they are anywhere else in the world? We're the only country that has PBMs. And if you look at reports, this bill does not really address the rebate, so we won't get into it very deep. But if you look at any of the reports, you see that list prices have gone up on drugs at the same exact rate that the manufacturers have decreased their profits, because all of that extra rebate that's going to the PBMs in the form of rebates. And really, they've created this system where once the employers kind of caught onto this, they want to get the rebates back, right? Because this is their drug spend. But the PBMs then form these additional third-party companies, these group purchasing organizations that they have now set up overseas in companies like Ireland and Switzerland, where we can't actually audit those and look into those books. And so while oftentimes they say 100% of the rebates are passed through to the employers, well, 100% of whatever makes it back to that particular PBM is passed through. We don't really know the rest of the story, and experts in this area agree that there's just so much opaqueness in the system that nobody really knows. So they also operate their own mail order pharmacies. And I really, for this first two slides that I had, I actually wanted to quickly, you have in the record this letter that was dated February 20th, 2024, from the National Association of Attorneys General and signed by the Alaska Attorney General, Trey Taylor. And I just want to read a couple of paragraphs because they actually sum up, this is from our Attorney General, sums up the things that we're talking about here. So the PBM's original purpose was to protect and negotiate on behalf of employers and consumers after pharmaceutical manufacturers were criticized for overpricing medications. Unfortunately, in recent years, the PBMs have only made the pharmaceutical market more opaque and have been a cause of rising drug prices. A small number of PBMs hold significant market power and are reaping abundant profits at the expense of the patients, employers, and government payers the PBMs are supposed to help. Pharmaceutical buyers and sellers have little choice but to employ PBMs, allowing them to extract both monopoly profits from individuals and monopsony profits from the market. Moreover, PBMs often dictate reimbursement rates and rules to independent pharmacies, making it difficult for many to survive. I'll let you read the rest of the letter on your own, but I thought that was a really great synopsis of one of the really big issues at hand here. So some of the ways that PBMs have increased drug costs really is so through those rebates and fees that we've seen over time. Also spread pricing. We're going to talk a little bit more about spread pricing, but that's where the PBMs charge the plan or the plan sponsor more than they actually pay the pharmacy. And there's absolutely no transparency in that process or how much that spread is ultimately. PBMs are incentivized to actually substitute higher cost drugs for a lower cost drug. And I saw this as a pharmacist working in the pharmacy. I would be so confused, like, but I'm filling it with this tablet that costs $10, and they want me to instead fill it with an equivalent drug that costs $250. And that didn't really make sense to me as a pharmacist wanting to give the patient the lowest cost drug, but being required by their PBM to give the higher cost drug. As I've delved into this over the last several years, really understood why they're incentivized to do that. They also reimburse their self-owned pharmacies at higher rates. We'll talk about some examples of that later. And then additionally, they've kind of created this system called specialty pharmacy. And what we're trying to do in this bill is really delineate what is specialty pharmacy, what is true specialty pharmacy as stated by the FDA. If the FDA says this drug really does require some specific handling or storage requirements versus what can any of our pharmacies or pharmacists who are educated as doctors and have experience and many years of experience be able to do. So really the essence of this is that PBMs are harming Alaskans. Pharmacies across Alaska are closing. We have a crumbling public health infrastructure right now, and it's really scary. We just came out of a pandemic where pharmacies and pharmacists played a critical role in providing services to help address the issues of that pandemic. at the rate that pharmacies are closing, we might not have them the next time that we have a pandemic unless we take action, and we need to take action as soon as we possibly can. So 25% of our independent pharmacies have actually closed since 2018. And even beyond that, we have our chain drugstore pharmacies that had to limit staffing, limit hours, and services because of the issues here. The tribal health system, we've worked shoulder to shoulder with the Alaska Native Health Board and the tribal health system on this bill too, because this impacts the overall amount of care that they're able to provide to our communities. So in essence, kind of like I described before, so PBMs, they decide what drugs are covered on your health plan, what pharmacies you can go to, and how much the patient pays at the pharmacy counter. And this lack of regulation has really led to a system that unfortunately drives up costs for patients, drives up costs for employers, and leads to this fractured care where maybe patients are getting some of their drugs from a mail order, some of their drugs from a local pharmacy, and there's lots of delays that can happen with the process. And then we see that the clinician might not have the full picture, causing fractured care and poor patient outcomes. This is just an example so that you can see why the Federal Trade Commission is actually investigating PBMs right now. So they have undergone this vertical integration process. So the PBMs, they're third parties. They are not beholden to any of the insurance laws that we have on the books, like at the state or federal level. So they've really kind of gone around and been able to amass a lot of wealth, whereas say the traditional plans you see at the top, United Healthcare, Aetna, Cigna, Anthem, Humana, they're required to reinvest 85% of their profits back into their covered lives. PBMs are not beholden to that, right? So they've created this system where they've purchased now the healthcare companies themselves, and then they have all of these specialty pharmacies. Now they also have purchased physician groups. They've created these offshore group purchasing organizations and just become these behemoths. And so as this process goes on, as you can see, it's getting harder and harder for us to make a difference. And that's one of the reasons why we also need to act now. So the three big PBMs that have monopoly power really are CVS Caremark. They own 33% of the market. Express Scripts, which owns 24% of the market, and OptumRx, which owns 22% of the market. And there are transparent PBMs out there. I want you to know that. There are a handful of startup companies. There was a great article recently that Tyson Foods, one of the biggest private employers in the country, has recently left CVS Caremark to go with one of these new startups and saving, I think, to the tune of $5 million. So really, they are out there. But when I say PBMs and we're talking about the practices, like this is really the market monopoly that we're really talking about. So they're all represented by the Pharmaceutical Care Management Association and all under investigation by the Federal Trade Commission. So spread pricing is incredibly harmful to patients and to pharmacies, as well as to our employers or plan sponsors. So this is where the PBM, again, they charge the plan sponsor one price for a specific prescription claim, and then they pay the pharmacy a much lower price, and then they pocket the difference. So, and they keep the spread as a proprietary secret. And I'm going to tell you two examples right now. So there's an example of an Alaska employer, and Alaska is a small state, right? So some of the healthcare entities in Alaska, while they are an employer, they also have a pharmacy where they're dispensing medications to their own employees, right, who are covered on their plan. So in this particular situation, the pharmacy was getting under reimbursed for a particular claim month after month for one of their employees. And it was like $300 underwater, this particular claim. So the pharmacy manager went to their boss, like took it to their HR department and said, this is one of our employees. Like, how do you want to handle this with our plan? And the HR person takes it up the chain to their benefits consultant and eventually to their PBM. And the next thing the pharmacy manager knows, she gets a call from the PBM that says, cease and desist. You're sharing our proprietary information. And if you don't stop, we will pull all of your contracts. So this is one example where, so you can see on the employer side, the PBM as the care provider side didn't want the employer to know how much that spread was, right? And this is a problem that we continue to see happening. In Alaska Care, as my colleague Dr. Wetzel will talk a little bit about, we actually had analyzed Alaska Care prescription data from the year 2022 to find some that if this bill was in place at that time, there would be a significant cost savings. However, in all of the data that was retrieved and looked at, we have determined, like, we don't think that the state of Alaska actually even knows what the spread pricing is that is in our health plan. That is in our state health fund. We don't know where those dollars are going, according to what we've seen in this data, which is extremely problematic as, you know, a taxpayer and as a citizen. I think that is something that we're all very interested in. So this is just a couple examples from other states who have actually delved in and did investigations into either from being their state employee in benefits or their state Medicaid plans that are managed in a managed care organization. So in Ohio, they found $223 million of spread in 1 year. And then Utah, they uncovered that they've actually dug deeper into the claims and found that an average of $8 per prescription claim was being taken as spread pricing. And of course, this they not found out until later. And so while we know that there is going to be opposition, the PBMs are going to say, no, this isn't an issue, it's not a problem. Well, when there's just this mountains and mountains of data and evidence out there that it is happening, in those few examples where people say, no, it's completely transparent, it's hard that they would be an exception in that case. And we're really looking at overall, the rule is that these practices are happening at the detriment of our plan sponsors, of our employees and patients. Some of the other things we're going to address here are the anti-competitive and unfair trade practices. So we just talked all the way through that vertical integration thing. And we now know, like CVS Caremark, they're starting now a manufacturing arm, and they're only going to cover the drugs that are manufactured specifically on their plan. And which is really problematic, especially being here in Alaska. We're, you know, supply chain logistics are really a big challenge for us, right? And so what if that pharmacy doesn't have that particular drug, but you have a similar one? How does that play out for patient access? It can be very problematic. So also, reports show that PBMs actually reimburse their affiliated pharmacies at much higher rates than local pharmacies. So we do have a provision in the bill that we would like to see payment parity across the board for local pharmacies and the affiliated or owned pharmacies, right, by the PBMs. And this is also because our opposition will say, oh, well, we save money by allowing the PBMs to steer to their own pharmacies. Again, mountains of data show they actually pay their own pharmacies more. So it's a little bit of a complicated situation. So let's just make it so that we don't have to pay any more across the board. So patient steering. And this is really... the heart of this bill is about patient steering. The heart of this bill is about giving Alaskans the right to choose where they get their medications and ensuring that when they need that medication here in our community, that it's going to be available for them because they're going to have a pharmacy that is open down the street. When we see PBMs steer patients to their own mail order pharmacies, we see delays in patient care and unintentional breaks in therapy. I can't tell you how many stories we have of patients who like have missed months of their medication and then have poor patient outcomes because of that. Not having your medications can lead to people going to the urgent care, going to the emergency room, having exacerbations, having poor prognosis with cancer or other disease states. And so it's really important that when the medication is needed, that the patients are able to access it. Also, product integrity. I was in Fairbanks a couple of weeks ago and it was negative 48 degrees. So I guarantee you if something was left on someone's doorstep that day, it was frozen. There's absolutely no way around that. And that's a problem we face in a lot of our areas in Alaska, throughout. And so making sure that the product integrity is intact so that the product is then usable. Because what happens often, I've heard stories from Nome, from Bethel, from other places where, well, their product did come, but it was frozen. So then the patient ended up having to go to a local pharmacy anyway, and the pharmacy had hours of administrative burden to work through all of the processes that the PBM was requiring of them. And then the patient ends up having to pay out of pocket or pay more, right? So it's actually cost more to the healthcare system and to the patient when those kinds of things happen. And because of our remote location, those things happen a lot. So patients really deserve the right to choose where they get their medications. I wanted to address a little bit about specialty pharmacy. So specialty pharmacy really is just means expensive drugs. So the PBMs have kind of created this idea that specialty pharmacy, well, these are drugs that require, on one hand, they'll say they require more handling or special handling or special dispensing counseling, but all pharmacists are educated and able to do those things. Pharmacists graduate with a doctor of pharmacy degree. They have in-depth training on storage, handling, and counseling of medications. This is what we do. Pharmacists are the medication experts, and it doesn't matter if they're in your local pharmacy or if they work at the specialty pharmacy owned by the PBM. They are all able to do that. And really, this is where in the bill we say, hey, the pharmacy has to agree to the network terms and conditions. So if the network says we pay X dollars for Humira, which is like the highest drug spend on most health plans right now, then that pharmacy has to accept that price. So therefore, there is no way that this bill could increase the cost by allowing local pharmacies into the network, because the local pharmacy still has to agree to the network terms and conditions. So this is an example. So this is out of a report from an Oregon drug pricing report, where they looked at their managed healthcare plans. And what it shows really is two things. So the blue line over here, that is 745 total claims of one specific drug called Tecfidera. And all of those claims were steered to a PBM-owned specialty pharmacy. On the other side, the green, that represents 586,600 claims that were filled at local pharmacies, so just other random generic drugs. When you looked at these, the profit of these two, the green column, those 586,600 claims averaged a reimbursement of $2.55 above the acquisition cost. I'm just here to tell you that the average cost of dispensing is much higher than $2.55, right? And then over here on the side where all of these claims, the 745 claims, were steered to the PBM pharmacies, those averaged more than $3,000 above acquisition cost paid to the PBM-owned pharmacy. So when they say, no, we save money by steering to our own pharmacies, that's just not true. Here's another example that shows how claims were steered. So this is Humira. Again, Humira is like it trends across health plans right now to be the highest cost drug spend, because it's a very popular drug. It's been very, very effective for lots of people for a wide variety of disease states. So about 80% were being steered in this particular example. So this slide shows this is the reimbursement above acquisition cost to the pharmacy. And if you look from Publix over to Winn-Dixie, so you see the highest is $4.35 above acquisition cost. Those are all the local pharmacies. So that's how much they pay when the local pharmacy fills the prescription. The PBM pays them, anywhere between $1.89 to $4.35 above their acquisition costs. Accredo over to Acaria, these are PBM-owned or affiliated pharmacies. So when the PBM pharmacy fills the same prescription, they're getting anywhere between $79 to $206. So if you look at, all the way from Winn-Dixie to Acaria, that's somewhere around 200 times more, which really doesn't make sense that our employers and our patients are putting the bills on those. White bagging and brown bagging. So these are major patient safety issues. And as Serena had said, what these practices do is they circumvent the process and the protections that are already put in place by the Drug Supply Chain Security Act, as well as many of our health systems who have a lot of systems in place to make sure the right drug is getting to the right patient at the right time. So the problem with white bagging and brown bagging is some of the issues we already talked about, such as product integrity issues. Delays in care is a huge one in Alaska, especially. So when we looked at like the DRB data that Dr. Wetzel will talk about here in a minute, we saw a lot of these prescriptions were coming from a specialty pharmacy in Florida. So you have a patient who has cancer, their next chemo dose is based on a laboratory that's taken today, and they're going to get that dose of chemo tomorrow. Well, there's no way that that drug is going to make it from Florida in the right dose and format, between the time they have that lab and the time that they need that drug. So these lead to delays in care, and poorer prognosis for patients, as well as just major patient safety issues. So just wanted to recap again some of these practices and what they're really doing to our pharmacy infrastructure in Alaska. We're seeing our crumbling public health infrastructure. This is, I can't talk about this enough. This is a critical issue. We had right here in Juneau, Ron's Apothecary has been serving our community here for almost 50 years, had to close at the end of last year. We've had pharmacies across the state close recently, and it is a major, major, major issue for patients. And we see it's also a health equity issue because patients who have lower health literacy are less able to navigate these very complicated systems to access the medications that they need. We see increased healthcare costs for employers and patients, and then, of course, poor health outcomes and disease progression. Wanted to quickly address the impacts on tribal health. So as I said, we've been working shoulder to shoulder with the Alaska Native Health Board and the tribal health organizations on this bill. And I think a lot of people just assume, oh, well, tribal health, like they got it, it's not a big deal. But really, oftentimes patients are also trying to be steered by their PBMs from the use of their tribal health organizations. And I've visited many of our tribal health organizations, and they have done an amazing job of creating a system where they're able to meet patients where they're at and get them the medications that they need. Up at TCC, they have an expansive rural pharmacy program where they work with people who live in the villages, and they plan, okay, this is when the plane's going to come. This is where the plane's going to come. Hey, we know that in hunting season, you're going to be nomadic. So they work with people ahead of time to make sure that they're going to get the medication they need where they need it, and so on and so forth. So when PBMs aren't doing these things that our tribal health systems are, and really it's the cost of the drugs that are being refused, the PBMs are refusing to cover, it's really lowering the overall services that our tribal health organizations are able to provide, which is why they are in full support of this bill. And then fiduciary duty. That was a really important piece of this bill because we need to bring transparency to the system. It's not just about making sure that patients can access their medications or that pharmacies are getting paid. We all need to know what the system looks like. And so we need to make sure that PBMs have a responsibility to the plan sponsors and ensure that the plan sponsors are getting the best deal. Those are our employers in the state, and they're saving money. So as Serena already talked us through all of this, but things that the bill does. So it bans patient steering. It ensures patients have the right to choose where they get their medications. Nothing in this bill limits if people want to do mail order. That's great. They can do mail order. That's fine. But when that medication doesn't show up, they need to easily be able to go to their community pharmacy and get the medication without having to jump through a bunch of hoops. We need to ensure safe access to physician-administered medications by banning PBM-required white bagging and brown bagging. We're also going to require a transparent reimbursement model to save money for patients and plan sponsors on the prescription drug spend. And then we're going to get rid of spread pricing. This one single piece can save not only the state, but employers a lot of money and make sure that we all know where the money is going to. If there's an administrative fee for performing a service, then there should be a straight administrative fee for performing a service, and we all know what that is, rather than some opaque, hidden fee that's in a spread pricing. We're going to require reimbursement floor of NADAC, the National Average Drug Acquisition Cost, plus a dispensing fee set by the Division of Insurance. And there are lots of states have taken different approaches to the reimbursement floor since the Rutledge versus PCMA Supreme Court case decision in 2020, which is also referenced in this AG letter. And NADAC really is the most transparent of the reimbursement methodologies, which is why we decided to go with that, because this bill really is about transparency. We want to require payment parity between PBM-owned pharmacies and local pharmacies. We need to really level the playing field and make sure those examples that I just shared are not happening in Alaska. And then we're going to ensure that the PBMs have a fiduciary responsibility to the plan sponsors. And then this is an example. So the Kaiser Family Foundation, they keep track healthcare premium data year over year nationally as well as in every state. And you'll hear it. So any of the opposition to this bill from the PBMs really is based on, they say, oh, it will increase cost. And that is absolutely not true. There are mountains of data that show that it does not increase cost. including this graphic, which shows, which is based on the Kaiser Family Foundation data. So in the top column here, we see states that protect patients from mandated use of mail order pharmacy. So this shows what they did was they compared the average, the increase of healthcare premiums at the national average. So like in 2013, 2014, it shows the United States, the average increase in health premiums that year was almost 5%, right? They increased year over year, just like everything else. And then they showed in the state what was that increase. And so as you can see, like in the state of Hawaii, their premiums actually increased less than the national average the year after they put these patient protections in place. California in 2016 and 2017 had the same situation. In Georgia, they actually, their healthcare premiums went down, which is, you know, one of those things that we don't see very often. We see the same thing happen in West Virginia. Down in the bottom column, so over where we have the gray boxes with Tennessee and Louisiana, these are states that prohibited PBMs from reimbursing their PBM-owned pharmacies at higher rates than non-affiliated pharmacies, right? One of the important provisions of this bill. And that particular provision, you can see that one decreases premiums because of those numbers I just showed you. So we see that happening. And then the last over here, the United States next to the states with patient protection shows that states that protect patients from PBM penalties. So that's that you have to, well, you can go to your local pharmacy, but you're going to have to pay a higher copay. So we want to protect patients from that particular issue. And as you can see, that also in those states, premiums actually were increased less than the national average. So this is really important data to consider. I know you all have a difficult job of wading through all this information that you're getting, but we have, again, mountains of data to support this. And so now I'm actually going to turn it over to Dr. Wetzel, and if you don't mind, I will just stay here and advance his slides for him, if that's okay.
Before you do that, we've only got about 10 minutes left before we have to let the Finance Subcommittee take over. So can we get through this in 10 minutes?
Yes.
All right.
thank you very much, Brandy. So I'm, for the record, Palmer Wetzel, the Deputy Pharmacy Director at Tainala Chiefs Conference in Fairbanks, Alaska. As a quick overview, we did some data analysis to try to compare the bill to what was spent during 2022. And what we did is we had Senator Geisel and Representative Sumner, and with the SB 121 HB 226 working group, we met frequently to discuss the components of the legislation over the last year. We reached out to the Division of Retirement Benefits to join meetings to discuss concerns about the state pharmacy plan and desired components of PBM reform legislation. We also invited the Division of Insurance to join meetings to garner their input as well. This resulted in a public record request from Senator Geisel. We requested the claims data for 12 months with 13 specific data fields, rebate information, pricing guarantees, and an audit of compliance with those guarantees. We were provided 8 of those 13 specific data fields. There was full rebate information was provided, but we had to make additional requests to get all of that information, and pricing guarantee performance was not provided. Much of the data requested was deemed proprietary or trade secrets and could not be shared because it is its confidentiality was protected in its contract with the state of Alaska. Nonetheless, we did review over 1.4 million claims provided by OptumRx. And through those claims, we found that 668,846 were filled in Alaska of those claims. Let's go to the next slide. So this slide that we're looking at right now, the red one, this is representing the amount that was charged in 2022 to the plan on the prescriptions or claims that we reviewed. This is the total dollar amount. And then right here, the NADAC high, what we did, since we weren't given a fill date, we had to go with the highest possible cost of NADAC in 2022 per NDC. And we analyzed all of the prescriptions that way, or all the claims, and then we also took the lowest to get this range that you see here. So the highest possible cost with NADAC plus a $13.36 dispensing fee would have been $276 million, which would have been less than what was charged to the plan. On the lower end was $269 million. So roughly $4.3 million in savings. And this is using the $13.36 dispensing fee, which other states and bill languages and also PCMA had used in their analysis as well. So one of the things that we determined with this savings we're looking at, we wanted to also analyze the potential of mail. There is a potential in the next slide you'll see that is still more costly to use under the EGWP or retiree data to go with the original spend. You could still have a savings, whether it was the highest potential cost or on the lower end of spend based on the lower end. NADAC on the lower end, you're still saving millions of dollars, yet you're infusing cash into the local economy as well. So about what potential cash on the next slide, or what is the potential impact on the local economy? By removing the mandatory mail order, if everyone had chose that could potentially fill locally, in Alaska, as opposed to picking, say, mail, you could say you could have $34 to $36 million that would be infused into the local economy. And what that is the percentage, and how we came up with that, the percentage of mail out of all the claims and specialty claims that could now be filled in Alaska plus a dispensing fee. So with this data, we taking it down to the claim level, looking by NDC, doing a direct comparison, we're very confident that this bill is not only going to save money, it's also going to infuse a great deal of money into the local economy. And this is just our claims. And if you look at the claims data from 2019, that PCMA had used, there was about 3.7 million prescriptions filled between commercial and Medicare in Alaska. So this number here would be quite a bit larger of the potential cash infusion into the local economy and savings.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Do we have any questions of the two invited testifiers? I do. I guess two questions that come to mind is that if this current system is driving up costs, why are the insurance coverage, the payers, why are they not sorting that out within their contracts?
That's a great question. We would like to see the model where that is actually being sorted out in contracts. Unfortunately, that's not the case just because there has not been any regulation in this area or incentivization, I think, for them to make that happen, which is why we need to have some legislation in this area. We also know like pharmacies really cannot negotiate in their contracts at all with PBM. So that's just not even a possibility because as in the Attorney General letter states, I mean, the PBMs really dictate the terms of those contracts, essentially.
And is there no alternative? I would think you have a variety of insurance carriers or claims processors. I forget the right agencies that administer a policy that could correct that in the contract, within the contract.
The problem is because we've allowed them to build so much market power, as I discussed those three big PBMs, that it's really not an option without some kind of regulation in place. And like as an example right now, there's a switch, which is how claims are adjudicated from the pharmacy right now, that's owned by OptumRx, by United Health Group. And that has been hacked, and that is resulting pharmacies across the country, including here in Alaska, are completely crippled from being able to process claims right now. And so that's actually just one example of why this whole system is so problematic and really needs legislative intervention.
And then with the drugs that are spoiled in shipment for one reason or another, there's no recourse for that. There's no guarantee that if somebody ships something, it arrives in a usable condition. And that's not being handled through, I don't know, Division of Insurance or somebody at this point?
Unfortunately, it's really dependent on the contracts and dependent on the networks themselves. And so it really depends. Some plans will help patients figure it out, work with local pharmacies or work with the patients to help support them. But then we've also, and just talked to someone in Nome, for instance, who, you know, the patient was just out of luck and just had to bite out of pocket. And so this is where, again, like, because we see this issue with the market power and the lack of negotiating power from pharmacies and the employers and other entities, is why we really need legislative action on this issue.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions? So we've been given a reprieve. I guess we have until 4:30. Do you have additional testifiers that you've invited? And there we go. Somebody is up there. This is good because I'm not following this.
Good afternoon, Chair Prox and members of the committee. My name is Ashley Schaber, and I serve as chair of the Alaska Board of Pharmacy. I will be very brief and mindful of time. Through public testimony and input from pharmacists and patients here in Alaska, the board became aware of the issues that Dr. Signa Martin and Dr. Wetzel previously described. The board identified the negative impact to safety in Alaska and has collaborated with the Alaska Pharmacy Association to craft language addressing these practices. Multiple other patient and healthcare organizations have been part of the process and support the effort to ensure an adequate pharmacy infrastructure in Alaska. The board is unanimous in the support of House Bill 226 because it gives patients the right to access medications at the pharmacy of their choice if their pharmacy is a willing provider, provides a framework for transparency and fair reimbursement for pharmacies, protects patient access to clinician-administered medications by restricting the practices of white bagging and brown bagging. And our board uses a strategic plan as we make decisions and actions that we pursue. We feel that this bill aligns with our strategic plan, specifically goal number 4, which is to grow Alaska's economy while promoting community health and safety. Our mission is to promote, preserve, and protect the public health, safety, and welfare by and through the effective control and regulation of the practice of pharmacy, and we feel that this bill accomplishes that. We've continued to see the negative impacts the current practices are having on Alaskans and recognize that change is needed quickly. House Bill 226 helps ensure that Alaska's pharmacies can continue to serve Alaskans. Thank you for hearing this bill today, and I urge your support and quick passage.
Thank you. Representative Sumner.
Mr. Chair, I believe that you had noticed public testimony. I see Pat Shire here.
Yes.
I would imagine he would like to testify and possibly other members of the public.
That would be a very good thing to do. Are there any questions for Ms. Schaber before? All right. Thank you. And Mr. Shire.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Wait a minute. Before I do that, I have to open it, don't I? Okay. Public testimony is now open. Mr. Shire, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Patrick Shire. I serve as an employee of the Pacific Health Coalition, and I prepared some remarks which I will read and then stand by for questions. My name is Patrick Shire, Alaska representative of the 125,000 lives whose health care is curated and financed by working families that pay for their care through expertly run health and welfare benefit trusts. These trusts are regulated through the Employee Retirement Income Security Act of 1974. ERISA constrains the trustees elected by these workers to act in the sole interest of the beneficiaries at the risk of financial penalty and incarceration. My employer, the Pacific Health Coalition, is a private, nonprofit, trustee-governed entity that legally and ethically saved these member trusts over $600 million in healthcare spend last year alone. No small trick in Alaska. In the context of House Bill 226, you have heard and read that pharmacy benefit managers are essentially organizations interested only in personal profit and are willing to achieve their ambitions unscrupulously and unregulated. It may surprise you to learn that each of the health plans that are members of the coalition, they hire, they fire, and they manage PBMs on a regular basis. These vital partners employ the best pharmacists available in the country in order to achieve the most effective pricing and administration of pharmaceutical commodities possible, based on the best and most current information available at the request of the health benefit trusts and their beneficiaries. More, the coalition offers access to one of the finest drug purchasing solutions in the United States. National Cooperative Rx, or NCRX, is a nonprofit organization of health plans in Wisconsin who decided to improve their pharmacy benefit experience by taking matters into their own hands without legislative compulsion. NCRX and their staff pharmacists aggressively negotiate the best possible contracts with larger PBMs. They demand 100% rebate pass-through. They audit PBM activity regularly and it is itself audited annually. And they are aware of the GPO offshoring and reshoring of cash flow, all while leading the industry in cost containment and customer satisfaction ratings. And you can reach one of their pharmacists on the phone when you need one. NCRX saved our Alaska health plans over $96 million last year. I'm proud to serve on the board of directors as an uncompensated volunteer secretary treasurer, so I've seen the checks. Notwithstanding the earnest intent of House Bill 226, we are not shown exactly how the supporters' benefit statements will be accomplished. The bill will not build new pharmacies in a host of neighborhoods now unserved. It will not replace the need for delivery of medicines by mail. And I might point that the committee has seen recently a proposed savings, not realizing perhaps that the state of Alaska, AlaskaCare, does not require mail order. The mail order that you saw was voluntary, and more than half of the retirees live outside the state. But it will not eliminate all waste or many of the other patient-centered solutions listed. All these challenges for us to address will remain. What it certainly will do is increase revenue to some special interests, increase costs to patients who will pay more at their next renewal or collective bargaining session, and consume additional resources to pursue regulatory goals. Fiscal notes and our analysis confirm that this bill will result in millions of dollars of additional spending without a commensurate increase in patient care satisfaction. HB 226 appears to be a kitchen sink bill containing all the possible language found in other states' bills. Just one feature of the proposed language will increase drug spend by $2.5 million annually for PHC members. Just one of the features. On the other hand, if someone were willing to consider legislation requiring everyone to use NCRX, they could join the other users who have saved over $96 million last year. As a lifelong Alaskan with involvement in health plan financing and access for over 30 years, I applaud the desire to improve patient experience, to seek relief from market practices that are or appear to be aimed at making businesses more difficult or even impractical in some cases. But I urge the committee, please do not pass House Bill 226 out of committee and instead allow the industry, including the payers and providers, to work toward effective, non-legislative solutions together. There is much that is already underway in response to market demands for transparency, both federally and in other states, in innovative delivery methods, in drug pricing and advertising, and other future developments that this bill may make impractical or impossible. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have questions of Mr. Shire? Representative Fields.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, Mr. Shire, do you feel like
you have a sense of what the spread pricing is by different PBMs operating in Alaska? Thank you.
Through the chair, Representative Fields, the contracts are so many and diverse, it's unknown. I know that for the NCRX folks, we discourage spread pricing. Spread pricing can be used on the front end as a way to pay the per member per month cost of hiring a PBM. In other words, a PBM may say $10 per member per month for us to manage your drug spend, or $9.50 if you let us spread price and use that to help pay the bills. I can't say what the oversight is on those particular contracts, but I know that sometimes it's actually baked in.
Thank you. Representative Mina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, in terms of the measures in the bill, you mentioned that only one of these measures would reduce costs. Which measure were you referring to?
Through the chair, Representative Mina, I was referring to the guaranteed fill rate tied to Medicare. I note that in the latest version, it has been changed, that language, as I understand it, to a rate set by the division director of the Division of Insurance. However, it's unlikely that that would remain at or lower than its current level.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Shire? There was, disparity. It's disparity in the cost and everything else. The previous testifier said that in the neighborhood of 75% of the market was controlled by three or four PBM managers, if I understood her correctly. But what you're testifying indicates there's more. Could you speak to the competition part?
Mr. Chairman, certainly. There are three large PBMs. And in the array of other opportunities, there are smaller PBMs that can be used, or you can hire a negotiating or a purchasing solution, much like NCRX, with the commensurate pharmacists, some who have been hired out of CVS or the other PBMs, and they know where the numbers are buried, so to speak, and you can use them in their new role to help do battle with some of the features of a PBM contract that do not meet the needs of your client. In specific, NCRX takes its marching orders from the consultants that advise the various trusts, Taft Hartley and otherwise, how they can best control their drug spend. And there are a number of things that go into that: proper use, efficacy, alternatives, step treatments, things of that nature. And they tell NCRX what must be in their contract in order for them to use that service. They, in turn, do battle with the PBMs. It happens to be CVS at this time, although it goes out to bid regularly. And then those features are hammered out between the purchasing organization and the PBM. Many people do not deal directly with a PBM. It's usually through an insurance company, a TPA, or a purchasing organization on terms of the payer side.
Representative Fields.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Is NCRX a PBM?
No, through the chair, Representative Fields, it is not a PBM. It is a purchasing solution.
Okay, through the chair, if I could ask a follow-up. So does the Pacific Health Coalition use PBMs right now, or are you using NCRX instead of PBMs?
Through the chair, Representative Fields, we have only one drug purchasing option available in our array of contracts, and it's NCRX, no PBMs.
Okay. If I could ask a follow-up.
Representative Fields.
So I guess how would so your concern is more about the pricing. Is it accurate to say that your concern is more about pricing to fill a prescription as opposed to regulation of PBMs, since you're not using PBMs right now?
Through the chair, Representative Fields, it's a host of language in this bill, which has many, many moving parts in different parts of the Alaska statutes. that of a dozen of them that we've looked at, all of them contribute to higher pricing in one way or another. And so we object to the bill in general and would instead prefer to find other non-legislative ways to confer and collaborate in order to find solutions that may some in the marketplace may find untenable.
Okay. If I could ask a follow-up, what are the other provisions other than the pricing to fill prescriptions that would, in your view, have an impact, a negative impact on ERISA plan beneficiaries?
Through the chair, Representative Fields, those would include any willing pharmacy. We're aware that the 80th percentile, according to ICER, although it was instituted to help bring specialty doctors to the state of Alaska, actually contributed to a sharp increase in healthcare costs such that specialty services are running five times Seattle right now. The Any Willing Pharmacy essentially removes any incentive for pharmacies to contract and to agree to initial or lightly negotiated increases in PBM features, fill rates, reimbursement rates, reporting requirements, things of that nature. And what we would see, what we would expect to see in that market is pharmacies standing back and allowing somebody else to negotiate a rate, and they would negotiate a rate higher than normal, and the rest would step in the 30-day program and say, okay, I'm here now. I would like to, I'd like some of that action. We saw that happen under the 80th percentile with medical specialties. Another one is mail order. We don't have a lot of programs that require mail order. I think one or two of our member trusts, but they have a seasonal workload and they think it's a tremendous benefit. And there's also evidence to indicate that compliance with physician instructions to take your medicine are somewhat higher when an individual does not have to go somewhere, particularly if they're out of state or if they're somewhere else. So mail order would be important. And the costs of mail order are typically somewhat less than having it filled locally.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions of Mr. Shire? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Shire. Now, do we have other invited?
That was an invited testimony.
Right. Public, yes. So we just go through with public testimony. You're okay with that? Good. Now, looks like we have Brittany Keener from Eagle River online.
Hello, thank you. Chair Prox and committee members. My name is Brittany Keener. I'm a resident of Eagle River, and I'm calling from Anchorage today. I am the ambulatory pharmacy manager at ANMC and the past president and president-elect of the Alaska Pharmacy Association. I'm calling today on behalf of myself as a pharmacist who's been practicing in Alaska for over 16 years. I'm calling in support of House Bill 226. In the interest of time, I won't reiterate the testimony you heard from Dr. Signe Martin, Dr. Wessel, and Dr. Shaver. And as you heard, ultimately, this bill will keep business in Alaska, protect patient safety, increase transparency, and allow patients to use the pharmacy of their choice. One example of a PBM practice that I've seen recently is a patient we have who lives in Point Hope who comes to Anchorage to see the oncologist and receive their infusion. The PBM requires that their oral chemotherapy that they've deemed as a specialty medication be mailed to their home address in Point Hope from the lower 48. The patient often has delays in starting the cycles, and this is important because starting oral therapy is timed to when they receive their infusions because they're in Anchorage to see their oncologist, and we are unable to dispense the medication to them while they're here. If their stay gets extended in Anchorage, this just further delays starting their medication. I respectfully urge you to move this bill from committee, and thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have Steve Ramos. Mr. Ramos? Oh, he's there for questions. Very good. And next we have Brenda Snyder from Olympia. Ms. Snyder, are you available?
Yes, thank you, Chair Prox. Good afternoon, Chair Prox and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. For the record, my name is Brenda Snyder, State Government Affairs Director for CVS Health, speaking in opposition to House Bill 226. House Bill 226 will significantly increase prescription drug costs for patients, drive up healthcare costs for hardworking Alaska families, large employers, and small businesses, and will do nothing to increase access to care for Alaskans. Employers, insurers, and governments choose to hire PBMs as part of their health plan offerings to administer the prescription drug portion of the healthcare benefit. PBMs offer a menu of options for employers and plan sponsors to choose from when designing their pharmacy benefits. This allows flexibility to create specific pharmacy benefit plans that provide the needed coverage at the best possible rate. House Bill 226 offers a series of provisions that eliminate this flexibility and prohibit the use of cost control measures, ultimately driving up costs by imposing one-size-fits-all mandates for employers and plan sponsors across the state. For the sake of time, I'd like to highlight two of these provisions that will lead to increased costs, mandatory dispensing fees and pharmacy network restrictions. This bill mandates a minimum reimbursement rate and imposes a professional dispensing fee on every prescription drug at a rate as high as the current Alaska Medicaid rate, which ranged between $13 and $23. When we did our analysis, we saw that this would result in a projected increase of 10% for plan sponsors, an additional 6.5% increase in out-of-pocket costs for patients. House Bill 226 imposes restrictions on pharmacy network design and specialty pharmacy arrangements. PBMs create pharmacy networks by negotiating with pharmacies that are willing to uphold high-quality care standards and affordable drug prices in exchange for increase in business from patient members in the network. These pharmacy networks include certain specialty pharmacies that hold additional accreditations for medications that may require special handling, storage, and administration for patients with complex health conditions. The proposed restrictions in House Bill 226 would eliminate the cost savings achieved in network pharmacies and put patients at risk of lower quality standards from specialized medications. We believe access to care is paramount in improving health outcomes and support policies that expand access to quality and affordable health care. However, House Bill 226 only increases costs, and we respectfully ask for your opposition. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Ms. Snyder? Okay. Next, we have Karen Miller from Fairbanks. Ms. Miller?
Hi. Thank you, Chair Prax and the member for allowing me to call in support of House Bill 146. I just want to note I'm born and raised Alaskan. I'm a pharmacist practicing in the community for close to 30 years. And I'm concerned about the practices of the PBMs, and I'm calling in support of House Bill 146. I'm the director of Denali Pharmacy, located in Fairbanks. It is located at Fairbanks Memorial Hospital, and we're part of Health Partners Health. We are contracted with PBMs, and we never get a chance discuss the terms of those contracts. It's a take it or leave it atmosphere with PBM contracts. If I choose to leave it, then I choose not to be able to serve a portion of our community. And as a staff pharmacist here at the hospital, my job is to help with discharging patients to the community, and part of it is to send them safely out the door with their medication. And sometimes that is a delayed process because of where the patients have to get their meds from. And that is one of my big concerns. The other big concerns is the fair reimbursement to pharmacies. We've seen pharmacies close throughout the state, including in Fairbanks. We lost one just last summer. And it affects where and when the patients can get their meds. And then they're lost trying to navigate a new system. And so that's a real concern. Reimbursement is the biggest issue. The fact that I can stand in the pharmacy and see that we lose on almost every prescription dispensed, and when we do make money, it's pennies. My parent organization, Foundation Health Partners, you know, they asked me, how do you make Denali Pharmacy sustainable? How do you make it better? Well, we have to go take care of how the PBMs treat us and how they reimburse us. So this is where this bill will kind of help level the playing field. I can speak more to brown bagging and white bagging because we're affiliated with a facility where meds come in. Even we don't even know when they're going to arrive. They show up with a patient's name on it, and we're supposed to take it in. Sometimes those meds have arrived via the vendor FedEx through our back door, set in a vendor room all weekend long. We don't know how these meds have been stored, and then we're supposed to be administering them to the patients, which is a real safety issue. So I thank you for your time. Those are some of my major concerns, and the House Bill 146 addressed my issues with the PBM. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have Gary Stranigan from Everett, Washington. Mr. Stranigan.
Afternoon, Chair Prox, members of the committee. Gary Stranigan here for Premera Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Alaska, testifying in opposition to House Bill 226. And I just wanted to echo the excellent testimony of my colleagues, Pat Shire and Brenda Snyder. I see time is short, Mr. Chair. And I think I would just like to, I'm going to shorten my testimony. I'll send the committee the talking points I would have otherwise offered. But I think it's important for the committee to know that the Section 14 had, well, there's a number of objectionable or affordability problems built into Section 14, but that section could increase premium by as much as 10%. And so to Pat's point, there's a lot in this bill that needs a lot of work. And I would caution this committee relative to advancing it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stranigan, and we would appreciate it if you would send your testimony to us. Next, we have Barry Christensen. Mr. Christensen, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Chairman Prax and members of the House Committee. My name is Barry Christensen, and I'm calling from Ketchikan. I would like to thank Representative Sumner for sponsoring this bill. I'm a second-generation Alaskan pharmacist, as my dad started our family pharmacy, which is Island Pharmacy, in 1974. Yes, that was 50 years ago. I am calling in today to ask your support for HB 226, as the future of our pharmacy and the patients we serve is in real jeopardy now. For our record, our pharmacy, for the record, our pharmacy is the only pharmacy in Ketchikan that provides unique services such as compliance packaging and compounding of commercially unavailable medications. If our pharmacy goes away, like 25% of the other Alaskan independent pharmacies have since 2018, then patients will suffer from lack of services. As you have heard or will read in the documents, this legislation affects patients and pharmacies across the state. 6 years ago, I testified in support of prescription benefit manager legislation that put simple rules around how PBMs could audit pharmacies like ours. At that time, some of the opponents of the current legislation before you said the cost of the legislation would be financially damaging to the plans. Truth is, it didn't drive up costs. I believe that the language in HB 226, when implemented, will actually allow plan sponsors to save money while at the same time offering relief to pharmacies like ours. I'm going to deviate from my prepared remarks to say a little bit about Mr. Shire's comments about pharmacies in regards to negotiating contracts. Obviously, Mr. Scher has never been a pharmacy owner and had to negotiate a pharmacy contract with a PBM. It's a take-it-or-leave-it situation. The other thing Mr. Scher mentioned is the 80-20 rule, which applies to major medical clients, not pharmacy benefit manager clients. It's an extremely complex contracting situation and never favors independent pharmacies like ours. Our pharmacy employs 12 people, all Alaskans who come to work every day to serve the healthcare needs of fellow Alaskans. PBM employees are entirely based out of state. Again, on behalf of our employees and our community, thank you for this important piece of legislation, and we urge your support. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
Okay, thank you. And Finally, we have Mr. Dirk White. Mr. White, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Chairman Prax and members of the committee. I'm a pharmacist in Sitka, Alaska. I am the current president of the Association of Pharmacists, Pharmacy Association here in Sitka, in the state of Alaska. You heard from Dr. Sigmart, and she's our executive director. I want to address our situation. We have 35 employees, and like Gary Christensen at Islands Community Pharmacy, we do the same thing, the compliance packaging, and we provide services to our community and some other surrounding communities that are going to disappear if we are no longer here. Our payroll in 2020 was $900,000 for our 35 people that we employ here in Sitka. 2023, we had to increase that payroll by 44% to $1.3 million. Our insurance premiums that we pay monthly, last I signed it yesterday, it was $17,000 a month for our employees to cover them. Annually, it was $115,000 in 2020. It went up to $134,000. That was a 17% increase. Now, it's been said that, if this passes, we're going to have, outrageous increase. We're already having outrageous increases in our insurance premiums. So how is this going to make it even worse? And we have about a 1% to 2% claim ratio on our insurance plans. Our workman's comp went up from $11,000 in 2020 to $16,000 in 2023. That's a 45.5% increase. I don't understand where they're saying that, we're saving you money. They're not saving us any money. We just recently, 3 days ago, received an audit for over $10,000 for an LPG-1 because we processed the claim and they did not stop it. Now they're saying, you should have put a diagnosis code on that prescription. These are the kind of shenanigans that they pull to steal money back from our community pharmacies, and that's what's caused the loss of community pharmacies across the nation. I am in support. My wife is a pharmacist. My son is a pharmacist, and our daughter-in-law is a pharmacist. And like I say, we have 35 employees here in Sitka, and we are making the best that we can to keep people in a living wage and keep them employed here in Sitka and serving our surrounding communities. We are definitely in support of this legislation, and yes, it may be a kitchen sink bill, as Mr. Shire said, but we've got a lot of issues that have been thrown at us over the years that we need to correct, and that's why this bill is so long and so big. Thank you, Representative Sumner, for presenting it and supporting it, and we all support it, and please move it out of the committee and onto the floor. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And we are a little bit past. I've got 4:33, so I'm going to close public testimony at this time. And we will hold this bill. Looks like there's some details to think through. So we will hold this bill for further proceedings. And with that, I adjourn the Health and Social Services Committee meeting at 4:37. Thank you.